Well, one of the reasons this is one of my favorite stories, when I was a kid, I was small. I was not one of the tall ones. I was one of the short, skinny ones. And I was not very popular either. So I identified with Zacchaeus, you know, because he was short and he was surely unpopular. We were not rich, however. That was a major difference. But when you read this story, you wonder, why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? And it doesn't tell us why he wanted to see Jesus, but we know these things about him. He was a chief tax collector, and tax collectors were seen in Jesus' day as traitors to Israel because they collected the taxes for Rome. And so they were treated as outcasts. They were hated and they were lonely. So maybe Jesus had heard, or maybe Zacchaeus had heard, that Jesus welcomed people who were outcasts or hated. Maybe he was seeking answers that his wealthy lifestyle did not provide. But when you look at this picture in your head, you see this short little man climbing up a tree, and he looked pretty ridiculous, you know. But Jesus came up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, get down from that tree, because I'm going to your house today." What? Jesus was going to the house of a tax collector? Oh my, that had to be a shock to the ordinary people who were around. But yes, Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, and by doing so, he showed him that he, though he was a tax collector, was accepted, that he was loved, that he was cared for. And Jesus said, yes, salvation has come to his house today. It's just interesting to me that Zacchaeus was so glad to welcome him. It is interesting to us that Jesus wants to welcome us, to come into our homes by his acceptance, to show us God's love. And he wants to share in our lives. And yes, he knows all of our sins and all of our failures and all of our shortcomings, even the ones that we hide and no one else can see, yet he knows all of this about us. And yet, he shows us that God loves us as we are. God loves us and cares for us and accepts us just as much as he cared and loved and accepted Zacchaeus. Now, here's the thing. Zacchaeus responded with thanksgiving, with joy, with generosity, with compensation for the wrongs that he had maybe committed. And he said, "I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor." Well, he must have been pretty rich to give half of his wealth to the poor. But then he said, "If I've cheated anyone, I'm going to give them four times as much as I cheated them." Well, if you do the math, he's given away half of his wealth to begin with. He's only got half left. If he had cheated very many people and he's given them four times as much, he's going to be broke pretty soon. Or else he hasn't cheated very many people. So, but anyway, you see in Zacchaeus this amazing change of heart. From this rich guy who is, you know, collecting taxes, keeping his percentage that Rome allowed. He was a chief tax collector, which means other tax collectors could, you know, would bring their, what they'd collected to him so he could send it to Rome. And of course, he would get his percentage of that as well. So, yeah, he had good income. He was rich. But you know what? He decided he was going to be giving his wealth away because he knew God loved him and accepted him. And that's really the basis for our giving. You didn't know this was going to be a stewardship sermon, did you? But that's the basis for our giving, the joy and thanks for what God has done for us. So often we fail to recognize that. Consider this. We are different from all other creatures on the face of the earth. We are the only creatures that the scripture says are made in God's image. Whatever that means, to be made in God's image. And in the second creation story where God creates Adam, you know, Adam, he creates Adam and he's this body. But Adam does not become a living, breathing creature until God breathes his spirit into Adam. And then it says he became a living being. So we are creatures specially made. We are creatures with the breath of God, the Spirit of God. And in Hebrew, the word for breath and the word for spirit is the same word. God's breathing into Adam was the giving of his spirit to Adam. And that's a symbolic story, but it contains this amazing statement that we are living because we have God's spirit within us. We are the only creatures on the planet Earth who have this special relationship, this special gift from God. Wow. And maybe there are creatures on other planets in this vast creation. We don't know. And maybe they have God's spirit. We don't know. But we do know that we are special in God's sight on this planet. The other thing is, we have a deep need not only to be loved and accepted, but we have a need to give love, to love others. I feel sorry for someone who is so filled with hate that they can't manage to love other people, because to love other people is a joy, it is a blessing. You know, to give ourselves where we can make a difference is deeply satisfying. When I was doing life coaching, when you start with a new client, one of the things you ask is, what do you want? And you keep asking that question over and over, what else do you want? Because we have a built-in need to use our energy, our lives in ways that express God's love and love for creation, love for the church community, love for every person, not out of guilt, but out of basic love for God. This question, what do you want? And, people say, well, I'd like a new car. What else do you want? Well, you know, it'd be nice if I won the lottery. Well, what else do you want? And eventually, people, when you ask them what they want, they discover, oh, I want to make a difference in the world. Oh, I want to love my neighbors. Oh, I want to give of myself in ways that make a difference in people's lives. Oh, I want to work for peace. We discover when we explore what we really want, we have these with the surface needs for winning the lottery and all of that, but we got these other deep needs to make a difference with our life. When we discover that and we look for ways that we can do that, we find satisfaction in life that we never had before. So that's the basis of stewardship. That's the basis of our giving. It's out of thanks for God's love. It's out of recognizing our need to give. It's recognizing how we want to make a difference in our world. We want to make a difference with our relationships, with our church, with whatever opportunities we have. I have preached stewardship sermons that say, that play on people's guilt, but that's wrong. That's wrong. We should not be giving out of guilt. We should be giving out of thanks. We should be giving out of our recognition of our need to give ourselves. That's the appropriate way to give. I had an elder in a church who said, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And I like that. Give till it feels good. I want us to feel good about our giving. I want us to feel good about what God has done for us. I want us to feel good about being in partnership with God in rescuing and transforming our neighbors and people all over the world into what God wants them to be as well. So really the purpose of our giving is to do the work of God. It's not to meet a budget. It's not to pay our dues. The pattern for giving in the Bible is giving a tenth of what we have to do God's work in the world. That's what the word tithe means. It's a tenth. And in Jesus' day, good Jews would give a tenth of the crops that they raised, a tenth of the livestock that they had. And they even went to great detail in figuring out a tenth of the mint from their herb garden. But they wanted to give a tenth to God. And yes, they felt some sort of obligation to do this, but when they really got into it, they felt joy and satisfaction. It's good to be able to give out of love for God. It's good to be a part of God's work. So here's the question we need to be asking. How much can I do for God? How much of my income can I give for God's work? What does God want me to give? I think there's a different answer for each person. That biblical guide of giving a tenth is helpful, but not everybody can do that. But there are those who can give more. You know, I remember years, you know, my dad said, you know, he believed in tithing. And then when he got older, he said, oh, but you know, you don't have to stop at 10%. And, you know, he had the income where he didn't have to stop at 10%. And he was joyful about that. However, whatever you give, look at what your income is. Look at what you can give. Maybe you can give 10%. Maybe you can only give 5%. Maybe you can give more. I don't know your particular circumstances. But I invite you to think of your giving as a percentage of what God has given you. In summing this all up, Zacchaeus' story can be our story as well. We can experience God's love and grace, and we can respond in joyful thanks to God. And we can see that we have a desire to please God with our gifts. And this leads to the greatest satisfaction that life can give us. Amen.